You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Tuesday, 29 April. We've got U.S. wholesale and retail inventories due 2:30 this afternoon. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb Global Headquarters in Johannesburg, South Africa. On the show today, Kenyon Yana from Scope Prime. I got lots to ask him. Mag 7, oil, local retailers. Then we got Paul Mann from NASDAQ-listed ASP Isotopes. They are looking to list on the JSE. Rana de Kock from PSG Insure. Weaker rand could impact replacement value of your insured goods. Podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more global opportunities through their partnership with JP Morgan Asset Management. Morning headlines, MoneyWeb. VAT legal challenge could have wider implications. Court still to decide on constitutional validity of altering tax rates by announcement. Business Day, Sibanye hints at closing unprofitable PGM shafts. Company positioning profile to align with longer-term market requirements, i.e. lower pricing. Morning markets, US was mixed, S&P up 0.1%, NASDAQ down 0.1%, and the 10-year slightly down at 4.2. Over in the east, it is mixed. Sydney's up 0.7%. Tokyo is closed for shower day. Hong Kong is up 0.4% and Tencent down 0.5%. Commodities are red. Gold futures 3,324. Brent 65.46. Platinum actually green at 9.94 and palladium 9.48. The rand is 18.54. Bitcoin 94,700. And top 40 opening call, we're looking for 10 points to the green. That is 0.01%.
MoneyWeb now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Ken and Yana from Scope Prime. Ken, appreciate the early morning time. A bunch of questions out there. I first want to touch on some of the local retailers. We saw them absolutely, and I'm thinking more of the clothing retailers, flying last year. Around October, November, they all seem to have peaked. Some are down as much as a third or even half of their value since those peaks. Are you looking at these and thinking, value? Or are you looking at them and thinking, it was overdone last year and this is a more realistic sort of price point?
Oh, good morning, Simon. Good morning to your listeners. I think this is more of a realistic price point. But I always say in the clothing apparel industry, it's almost the tale of the tortoise and the hare. And why I say this is because at the very top end, apparel such as Pepcor as well as Mr. Price are so overvalued. And that's just because of the sort of value that they bring to the South African economy, catering to the lower LSMs. Where you look at Truworths and the TFG Group, I think the TFG Group has a broader spectrum of businesses that they're in, whereas Truworths has the exposure to Africa, which in the recent result has not really done well, and the UK business kind of teetering along. So as I said, it's just a dislocation between the very top end and the bottom end of where valuation metrics lie.
Yeah, and I take your point. Probably sort of reflecting a much better valuation towards the end of last year. Things were perhaps a little bit crazy. It's not that great yet in our economy. Moving completely separate, Magnificent Seven, another bunch that we're having a spectacular 2024 and truthfully 2023. Massive sell-off amongst varying different Mag 7 to different degrees. Are we seeing some value there, or is trade wars and the like and it's still valuations perhaps making those a, I don't know, best left alone?
I mean, if you're looking in the Mag 7, Apple and Microsoft are down about 10.1%, Apple about 13%. But the problem with that is that the price to earnings, the forward price to earnings, are still sitting closer to between 35 and 40. And where you are truly seeing the value, it's ones which have been punished even the worst, such as Alphabet and NVIDIA. Because in the recent result, what we have seen is AI is still a big booster of the earnings. And looking at the outlook statement, especially from Alphabet recently, is seeing the pockets of growth in that AI business, compounded with the fact that it has such a diverse portfolio of businesses, still seeing increased revenues from the Google search business. I mean, I think Alphabet has taken a lot of punishment recently, and I don't know why the market is seeing that way.
Yeah, those Alphabet results, looked for that, I think they were Thursday evening after close, were some good numbers, and everyone's worried about their search. And, search is just doing just fine at this point. A last one, around oil. Oil's had, obviously, we can see that peak from February 22 when Russia and the invasion of Ukraine. It was kind of finding some support over the last year and a half, 2 years at the 70, broken through that. Oil telling us a story, is my sense, that of lower GDP growth. I mean, certainly we saw that from the IMF upgrade or downgrade, rather, week before last. Oil, higher for longer, lower for longer. What's your call on oil?
I think for as long as there's uncertainty in tariffs on the global economy, you will start to see that oil will remain at these levels or even lower going into the future. And I think with the room and the expectations of oversupply with OPEC and OPEC Plus looking to ramp up production because they need to maintain more, they need to produce more to maintain their current margins, you will start to see a depression in the price. I mean, over the last week, it's done about it fell by more than 1%. We saw some strength yesterday, but I think with the uncertainties between the trade war between China and the US, you will still see that oil will remain depressed at these levels.
Yeah, and the Liberation Day is, according to Donald Trump, Brent actually went briefly below $60, $59.31. It's recovered, but I take your point. It is still under pressure, and in uncertain times, oil's probably not the place to be. We'll leave it there. That's Ken and Yana, Scope Prime. Appreciate the early morning time. Our poll today is around Mag 7. Sold off aggressively so far this year, although some T's and C's in that aggressively part, perhaps. But is there opportunity? Have your vote. Have your say. LinkedIn and Twitter. Let your money benefit from experience with StanLib Asset Management. Find out about StanLib Global Select Fund, which follows an investment discipline that has delivered results for 3 decades.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
I'm chatting with Paul Mann. He's CEO of ASP Isotopes. They're a NASDAQ-listed company, been listed since 2022. The code is ASPI, market cap around $400 million, looking for a JSC listing, hence the interview. Paul, I want to get to nuclear power in a moment, because that's what we all think when we think isotopes. But there's a lot more to it than just that. There's pharma, there's agri, there's semiconductor, and you're involved in all three. And you're kind of a mature startup in the sense that you have contracts in place as well.
Yeah, I mean, listen, isotopes touch your life every day in many different ways. And, that's the nature of them. And so, you know, when we set the business up, we initially looked at healthcare and medical, but realized actually there's so many other areas where we can build isotopes and produce isotopes the world needs. Next generation semiconductors, advanced nuclear medicine, obviously nuclear fuels for the future. Helium and lithium 6. So absolutely. And we've built 3 plants in South Africa, 2, I guess, for medical and one for semiconductors. And we're hoping to build lots more.
You mentioned particularly, I mean, where is the supply coming? I mean, I was digging around this, and from the press release that came through, a lot of the supply currently comes out of Russia, which I imagine is far from ideal in terms of sanctions and the current conflict in Ukraine.
It's always been problematic, actually, supply of isotopes. That's one of the reasons why I got interested in the industry. When I managed a hedge fund, some of my best short positions were those companies that needed isotopes because they didn't have them, and they missed numbers and missed quarters. And when you think about it, for a radioisotope, when you're trying to ship a product around the world and your inventory halves in value every 2.5 days, that's really problematic. Wow. That's one of the reasons why, you know, this industry's been, supply side has been so fraught with problems, and that's why I was interested in it.
And I imagine, I mean, part of this is proprietary technology that you've got. There are 3 key divisions you mentioned. You've got factories out in Pretoria. Most of your staff are operating in South Africa, but proprietary technology is your edge in this environment.
Correct, yes. Listen, this technology was originally developed back in the 1970s and 80s at Nexar. We've spent a lot of money developing it since then. The predecessor company that we bought the assets from decreased the energy consumption by about 40-fold, and we've decreased it by about 5-fold since as well. We spent a lot of money developing this technology. But yeah, it's pretty unique, and it's very proprietary.
I mentioned nuclear up front. Whenever isotopes is mentioned, I think the first thing we think of is nuclear. This certainly is a green energy. Nuclear is on the rise. We've also seen, I mean, truthfully, I mean, Three Mile Island has been recommissioned for Microsoft. That is a potentially huge growth area as the world decarbonizes.
Listen, the world needs to double the amount of electricity it produces over the next 25 years. And it's double the energy production whilst keeping carbon emissions basically flat. That's a real challenge. And the only way the world is going to do it is with more nuclear power. You know, solar and wind are great when you have sun and when you have wind. But if you don't have sun, you don't have wind, it's kind of a problem. And so I think it's now widely recognized the world needs more, you know, more nuclear power. One tablespoon of higher saline enriched uranium would power all your energy needs for your entire life. It's one of the most cleanest forms of energy that exists.
Absolutely. And it's that base load, as you say, it is also clean. I know we think about Chernobyl and stuff, but those really were isolated. And truthfully, there's, you know, when I think about nuclear disasters, it doesn't even take all the fingers on one hand. I mentioned you've got contracts and the like. You're kind of startup, but you're mature startup and that you're doing good revenue. But are you profitable yet?
So we're not generating free cash flow as a company. Mm-hmm. One of our subsidiaries is PET Labs, that generates good free cash flow. And this year we hope that ASP Isotopes, you know, one of our subsidiaries, will start generating free cash flow. And then PET Lab, you know, Quantum Leap Energy is still some way from generating free cash flow. That's probably more like a 2027, 28, 29 affair. You know, nuclear power just takes a lot longer to build. But, you know, we've got 3 plants now up and running in South Africa. Hopefully that should drive sufficient free cash flow to make the company free cash flow positive.
I mentioned up front you're looking for a secondary listing on the JSE. You'll keep your NASDAQ listing. Where is that process with the local exchange?
You know, we've spoken to the JSE a couple of times. There's a lot of excitement about us coming to the JSE. You know, there aren't many high-tech companies listed on the JSE, and so we've received a very warm, favourable welcome. We're talking to the regulators, and hopefully we'll do our listing as soon as possible. Yeah, we were always going to list on Johannesburg Stock Exchange. I mean, it's just appropriate for us to do that. You know, our investors may be in the United States today, but the heartbeat of this company is in South Africa. We've got 153 employees. 149 of those are in South Africa. Our 3 plants are in South Africa. I speak to a lot of South African politicians and investors, and a lot of the investors would like to invest in our company but struggle to because we're listed on NASDAQ. And so we're always going to list here, and we owe it to the South African population to be able to invest in our company and benefit from all the wealth we should create over the next several years by building more of these plants.
A quick last question, which is undoubtedly on your mind, but tariffs, does it impact you? Because you're producing in South Africa. If you ship into the US, there's currently a tariff, but you're not in the heart of that tariff war, as I understand.
So listen, my understanding is that isotopes are not included in the tariffs. Mm-hmm. They're an exempted item, exempted product. Okay. And so I would be surprised if there were tariffs on our products. If there are, the customer's going to have to eat those tariffs, I'm afraid. Yeah. So that's where it goes.
Yeah, and I take your point. I mean, yours is a unique product. It's not like a bag of oranges, which I could get from a different supplier. We'll leave it there. That's Paul Mann, CEO, ASP Isotopes, on their listing. Paul, we'll chat again when you list. Appreciate the time.
Let your money weather the storms with Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in the Stanlib Global Select Fund, a diversified all-weather equity portfolio submanaged by JP Morgan Asset Management.
MoneyWeb now on the money.
Joining now with Rana de Kock, Head of Distribution at PSG Insure. Rana, appreciate the early morning time. South Africans have a fixation with our currency, although perhaps other emerging markets do in terms of us watching it. But there's an important implication on our rand and the impact of our insured goods, particularly if the rand weakens. Most of our insured goods, electronic goods, are going to be imported. This actually impacts the replacement value, and we need to kind of keep tabs on that as the rand does over time potentially weaken against the dollar.
Morning, Simon, and morning to the MoneyWeb listeners. I hope everyone's well this morning. Yes, Simon, you're absolutely correct when you say that. You know, the weaker rand means that that imported goods, which make up a large portion of the consumer products in South Africa, including electronics, as you've mentioned, vehicles, household appliances, everything becomes more expensive, you know. So when the rand depreciates, the cost of replacing these items rises. An example is
No, no, I was going to say, because it is, I mean, this would be, I mean, this would be my laptop, my cell phone, my, frankly, my fridge, my TV. And the risk here is that as those prices rise, it potentially leaves me underinsured in the event of a claim.
Yes, that's correct, Simon. That's absolutely what you're saying. I mean, for an example, you know, an item that cost you 200,000 Rand to replace a year ago could cost you 220,000 Rand or even more. Or even more now, you know. So it's so important to stay close to a financial advisor, a specialist financial advisor that, you know, that keeps an eye on these fluctuations.
Yeah, that was going to be my next point, because two parts to it. I mean, how often should I be sort of reviewing replacement costs? I mean, the rand is moving minute by minute, but obviously that's not practical. Is this something I do on an annual basis, a biannual basis? And is this something, I mean, it's going to be a lot easier if I go through an insurance broker or financial advisor in that regard.
Yes, absolutely. You know, in today's volatile economic climate, Simon, we recommend reviewing your insurance cover at least every 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, you've touched on annually with everything that's happening in the economy every 6 months or every time there's major changes like acquiring expensive new equipment, making home improvements, or, you know, noticing significant exchange rate movements. You know, this should be a trigger. And again, you know, this is where your advisor also will play a significant role to make sure that he gets in touch with you as and when these situations take place.
That's actually a great point. I hadn't thought of that. I buy a new fridge. My view is I had a fridge. I've got a fridge. But actually, I had an old fridge, and now I've got a new fridge. And when I make those big purchases, you know, you're busy unwrapping it and admiring it. But actually, you need to check your insurance at the same time.
You know, when it comes to your household goods, Simon, you know, the insurance basis works on an old for new basis. You know? So if something should happen to your items, insurance companies are going to replace it with a new item, and your policy needs to make sure that it's insured for the correct values.
Mm-hmm.
Otherwise, and you've touched on it earlier, you know, otherwise underinsurance can take place, and with that comes average. You know, so maybe just a lot of people don't understand the concept of average, but for example, if your contents are worth 400,000 Rand, as an example,
mm-hmm.
and you've insured it for 300,000 Rand, it means you are 75% insured for that value, mm-hmm. 25% underinsured. And this will leave you with a 75% payment on any type of claim that you've had, you know. So
gotcha.
Making sure that you are adequately insured is so important, that you're not left out of pocket at claim stage.
Okay, gotcha. That average makes sense now. A last question. We're talking up household and the like, but truthfully, this would apply to a business as well.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if you take businesses, if you take, for example, a small business,
mm-hmm.
You know, it's such a big expense, especially if they work with stock. You know, getting expensive machinery, whatever the case might be. You know, I can't emphasize the urgency or the accuracy that is needed when it comes to making sure that your business is properly insured. I mean, you can now take it if, for example, you have a claim. It's not just the item that is damaged. You know, mm-hmm. you also sit with a loss of income situation. And again, you know, your advisor, your specialist advisor, can make sure that you are covered for a potential business interruption or loss of income scenario, should that take place.
Yeah.
You're also sitting with, you know, some of these items need to come from overseas, so there's a waiting period on it. Not all of this is frequently available within the South African market, Simon. So it's so important, especially in this volatile time that we find ourselves in, that you're not left short when it comes to a claim or potential at claim stage.
Yeah, I hadn't even thought business, of course, loss of business, but also that equipment you've got is probably imported, maybe hard to get hold of, and maybe prices are up. We'll leave it there. Renard de Kock, Head of Distribution, PSG Insure. Appreciate the early morning. That's it for today. We're chatting with Kieran Whitten from Anchor on Friday, talking about the Aspen news and the subsequent share price collapse. There's been a bit of a recovery, but it's still well down where it had been ahead of that announcement. We asked if there was opportunity there, and it was equally split between a third of you, no, stay away, a third, yes, it'll recover, and a third, no idea, it's a mess. Have your vote, have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter. This podcast is brought to you by Stanlib Asset Management. Invest in more certainty to navigate volatile market conditions. We're live every weekday morning on the Moneyweb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. podcast just after 7. Thanks to my team, Eddie, Nubukle, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their time. My name is Simon Brown. This is Moneyweb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow, the Chinese consumer.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now, on the money.